May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Can you believe it's the third Sunday of Advent? Every year, about this time, I start to quietly panic. But it is the third Sunday of Advent, and we are called to rejoice. In fact, the Latin name for this Sunday of Advent is Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete means rejoice. And as you see on the frontal there of the altar, if you're in front of it, sometimes there is a rose-colored or a pink candle in the Advent wreath. There is one on our frontal, along with three blue or purple candles for Advent. And that rose-colored candle would be the one that would be lit today, would be the third candle for the third Sunday of Advent. And that, it marks it apart a little bit as a little less penitential than the other Sundays of Advent. And in the readings, all of the readings except perhaps the Gospel, we hear the theme of rejoicing. Isaiah said, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation." And in the psalm we prayed, "Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. And those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy." The Magnificat is an alternate text for this Sunday, Mary's Magnificat, which again is a song of rejoicing. And then finally, we heard Paul writing to the Thessalonians saying, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Rejoice always. Does this sound like an impossible task? If you're anything like me, you have had times in your life when it seemed impossible to rejoice always. In fact, this may be one of those times for you. It helps me to look at the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is an emotion, but joy is much more than an emotion. There's nothing wrong with happiness, per se. Happiness is fine. Who doesn't like feeling happy? Don't worry, be happy. But happiness can be very fleeting. You may be very happy one day that you just got a new car, and then the next day you get a scratch on that car, and that happiness kind of goes pew. Or you can think of many other examples. Something that makes you happy, you know, sort of in the moment, but then something else can take that right away. Happiness comes and goes. It cannot easily coexist with sadness or grief or loss or suffering. Joy, though, and Paul says rejoice, he doesn't say be happy, he says rejoice, joy is of a different order altogether. It is much deeper. Joy, I think, is a whole body experience. Joy is a gift from God. And joy can support and undergird your life, even when your life is filled with sadness or grief or loss or any kind of suffering. Sometimes we cry tears in our joy, and we can feel joy and sorrow at the same time. Joy is like hope, I think. It is always there, with and for us, just as God is always there, with and for us, if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. So Paul can say, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I cannot say that I can give thanks for all circumstances, but I try to give thanks in all circumstances. I think there's a big difference. I don't think Paul is saying that we have to give thanks for everything, particularly if it's a bad thing. Although perhaps the saints can do that. But that we can give thanks in whatever circumstance we find ourselves. So even in the midst of a tragedy, we can give thanks that God is in there with us, that God is working in everything to bring new life out of death, even when we ourselves cannot see it. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Julian of Norwich, in her writing in the 14th century of her visions of God and Christ, writes about praying without ceasing in a helpful way, I think. She says that prayer fastens the soul to God. Prayer fastens the soul to God, making it one with His will through the deep inward working of the Holy Spirit. She says, God says this, "Pray inwardly, even though you feel no joy in it." If you feel no joy, even if you feel no joy in it. "For it does good, though you feel nothing, see nothing, yes, even though you think you cannot pray, for when you are dry and empty, sick and weak, your prayers please me, though there be little enough to please you. All believing prayer is precious in my sight," God says. She says, "God accepts the goodwill and work of His servants no matter how we feel." Pray without ceasing. So even when we do not feel joy, even when we do not feel like giving thanks, we still can pray. And through that prayer, by God's grace, we may find our way to the joy and a sense of gratitude for our life. This is hard work. But when we are able to do this, to persevere in prayer even in the midst of horrible circumstances. We ourselves become living witnesses to the Christ. Like John the Baptist, who always pointed away from himself to the Christ, to the light. Like John, when we do this hard work, even in the midst of our sorrows, we can witness to Christ and the power of God to transform ourselves and our world. So on this third Sunday of Advent, we are called to be filled with the joy that comes only from God, so that we may rejoice. And remember these words also of Julian of Norwich, which she received from God. God did not say, "You shall not be tempest-tossed." He did not say, "You shall not be work-weary." He did not say, "You shall not be discomforted." But he did say, "You shall not be overcome." God wants us to heed these words so that we shall always be strong in trust, both in sorrow and in joy.